This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey guys, before this show starts, just want to let you know that over on Red Men Plus, our subscription service, we've got tons and tons of Liverpool content in podcast form as well. You love podcasts, we love making podcasts. Go and check it all out. That's redmenplus.com. Sign up for as little as £5 a month. You will not regret it. Now, enjoy the show.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Build Up Show. I am Paul Machin, Jamie Cranford, John Reid join me to have a hot FA Cup chat, the yearly chat around how much we do or do not like the FA Cup, made slightly more interesting by the fact that we are the reigning holders, John. You know, normally we're here and we go, oh, like, how seriously do Liverpool take this competition? Do we really care about it? Yada, yada, yada. And inevitably, we're going to add in the fact that, you know, we could probably do with a win. How are you feel about the FA Cup in 2023?
I'd like us to do something with it because I've got a lot of fond memories attached to the FA Cup, and obviously winning it last year, first time in God knows how long, was it 2006? Yeah. So it was, you know, for me, like, personally, like, really the highlight of last year, but given everything that's going on around sort of the team and the squad at the minute, I wonder whether sort of how committed the manager will be. There's the whole thing around momentum, but then also we've got a fair break until we play Brighton after that. I wonder, as I say, whether he'll sort of shuffle the pack a bit and maybe look to sort of try some things out with some people on the periphery of the squad, maybe get some minutes in legs rather than sort of commit to a full first 11, if you know what I mean.
It represents, as always, an opportunity that you don't really want to pass up. I don't think Jürgen ever really wants to go out of the cup competitions, but, you know, he said himself, we've said it ourselves many a time, it is often just to do with the quality of the opponent. And also that we're often really busy in January. Well, yeah, that's not the case this time around. It's actually quite a unique set of circumstances where we're only playing a game a week. If we don't get through the FA Cup, there's even a little bit of a break at the end of the month as well. So this whole, we have to rotate because we're in the depth of something, doesn't fly in the way that it would normally do.
Yeah, we don't necessarily have to. We've normally been in a situation where, like, as you say, we've been busy, we've been hunting down Manchester City. That's not the case this time, but I guess we're still, it's still a serious task that we've got trying to get into the top four, so you could say that. But then, you know, certain players have just had a 5-6 week break. Well, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a unique circumstance. They don't necessarily need to rotate. I don't think we're going to see, similar to like when we played Wolves, when Kiana Hoover was played, was that 4 or 5 years? I don't think we're going to necessarily see a team like that, but I do expect them to make some changes.
There's some obvious things to do in this one. I think it comes down to sort of desire, and there'll be a desire from the players, John, to kind of get back up and running, really. Mm. And there might be one or two, like, there's obvious ones. We'll do our, who we think are actually going to play in part two, of course, but, like, the goalkeeper's the obvious one. Like, you know, the goalkeeper will change because that's what we do for the FA Cup. But the bigger questions will come around just how serious we're going to take it. And actually, I come back to it. Just, you know, you've got two games against Real Madrid kind of looming in the Champions League in mid-February. You could easily get knocked out of that. There's no other silverware to play for bar the FA Cup. I personally had an amazing time at the FA Cup last season. You know, that combined factor of, get me daughter early doors, getting to do the semi-final, you know, going to the final, everyone had boss time at Wembley in the semis and the finals. We've seen how much that trophy can mean. It's a bit of a, look, there's no guarantee of winning it, because look, another one of the top teams could just as likely have a decent runner at it, and then you're down to one or two off games. But for me, it's a good holding pattern kind of trophy. Mm. Is that Liverpool will want to be better next season. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. It's the 5th of January. Is that a new record for talking about next season? But there we go. they'll trust that they'll be bouncing back next season and challenging for titles again. But if you want to just keep the wolf from the door, just keep things ticking over. You know, the FA Cup could be a really nice way to just keep the whole enterprise running, really.
Yeah, you've got to, just because things aren't going well for us, we can't let standards slip, if you know what I mean. So years gone by, and certainly in my adult life watching Liverpool, you know, sometimes a good season was finishing 7th and getting the Europa League football, and knowing we were playing football against FCC on Thursdays. We've moved past that, understandably, under Jürgen and everything that's happened over the last few years. And I think it slowly sort of dawned on everybody, not least the management staff, that like this is a bit of a transition year in terms of rebuilding the team, rebuilding the squad, sort of finding our way back into playing. I'd sort of thought it, but I seen Carragher said on Sky Sports, it feels like sort of the first season when he took over in 2016 again. There's that sort of inconsistency and that feeling around the team. But to sort of, to go through a season, hopefully, touch wood, you know, top four and win an FA Cup is not a bad season. You know, mm-hmm. years gone by, I mean, that kept Arsene Wenger in a job for 3 years, you know, 3 seasons back to back. And as you say, I think, you know, not to sort of do the League Cup down, but I do think there's much more of like a prestige and a lore attached to the FA Cup.
Oh, God, without a doubt. And look, listen, we've won the League Cup well more. It's like it's our other trophy, so you know, so to speak. But the thing about the FA Cup is, again, it isn't the be-all and end-all. I don't know whether Liverpool have an open-top bus tour for just their FA Cup at the end of the season, what have you. But what I'm a little wary of is like the COVID season, where we end up like top four becomes the be-all and end-all, and we're so relieved to get it.
Yeah.
But like we went through a mad set of circumstances that got us to that kind of position. If you win FA Cups, you start to add them to your tally. And that's the problem about that. You can't have loads of seasons where you don't lift silverware, because there's a limited shelf life of the manager. There's a limited shelf life of the main players at the football club. It would be a disappointment. And look, I'm getting far ahead of ourselves here. It's the third round of the FA Cup. There's a lot still to play. But with the League Cup, you're so far away from the final. Like, Wolves are playing this week, and that's only the quarterfinals. You know, we're normally playing the two-legged semi-finals just after the third round. That's still to come. So the League Cup is a bit of a shit show this year because of the knockback. Whereas the FA Cup feels like a nice palate cleanser in between doing the other business, the business of scraping your way into top four, as it looks.
It feels a bit. I saw your and Paul's post-match comments the other day. Like, for most of our adult lives, your and Chris's, yeah. For most of our adult lives, we've had seasons like this where it's like, can we get top four? Oh, and a cup run would be nice, or a little go at, like, and we've had some fantastic seasons. We've had, you know, the treble season under Julio, some Benitez early, you know, we were actually good in 08-09, like, mm-hmm. but the early one, you know, inconsistent in the league and good in the cups. So I'd be more than happy to go on a run in this, and I like what you say about like a ticking over, because if you look at other dynasties like Ferguson and Wenger, they wouldn't win a league, but then they'd beat, like, there was one year where Man U won, I think, the League Cup, and it was like they beat, I think, Wigan 4-0, or it might have been in the F. No, it was the League Cup. And it's like, well, at least you've got that trophy. And all right, we haven't done as well, and it's like, you know, we go again in the league next year. So there's no harm in doing that.
We're playing for me, it's that photo, and like Bob Paisley's got one, and Ferguson's got one, and Wenger had one, where Klopp leaves and he's got every trophy that he's won laid out in front of him.
Yeah.
And, you know, two FA Cups is better than one FA Cup, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And I think that needs to be a mentality. And hopefully the players have got a similar attitude as well. It's still certainly an opportunity for us to put a sprinkling of other players in to give them that taste and continue that development. I don't think we'll throw the baby out with the bathwater because we're in a bit of a sticky run of form.
Yeah.
But yeah, hopefully the whole Enterprise is geared towards, okay, well, the league is going to become its own challenge. There's nothing more miserable than a solo climb towards fourth in the league. As a fan, you don't make songs up about fucking going away and winning a type four game that gets you up to 3 points closer to fourth. It doesn't happen. You need cups, you need trips, you need magic moments, and that's why, for me anyway, it remains important. Look, let's talk Wolves. Julen Lopetegui is taking charge. Good manager. I think that's really interesting about them. Obviously, the second bottom at the moment, they've only won three games. They're a point behind Everton at the moment, 2 points ahead of Southampton. But when I look at, I know Southampton have changed the manager already. Everton are an absolute fucking disgrace of a football team at the moment. And obviously, David Moyes has got, at least he's got backing and priors for surviving relegation fights. I look at the quality of manager there, and Lopetegui is the best manager probably. It was certainly in the bottom half of the table. Maybe you could argue what's his face at Villa,
Emery.
Emery, thank you. Chelsea 10th, 13th. He's best than Graham Potter. We'll decide in due course. But yeah, the kind of point I'm raising here is that I think Wolves are a decent side. Wolves are potentially looking like they're starting to turn the corner. Athletic are writing articles about how he's got them playing a higher intensity brand of football, pressing. He's playing the footy that Bruno Lage wanted to be playing for them. John, the more I read into it, the more I'm like, this is not really the kind of team that I want us to be playing, let alone playing them twice in a month. As we play the catch-up fixture with them at the end of the month as well.
Yeah, I think sort of like on the way in, I was thinking about it, and you sort of forget because of when he was appointed just before the World Cup, you sort of forget that they've changed manager, and in your head you're thinking, oh great, you know, a team that's going to sit back, sort of five at the back, they're just going to sit in their half, great, this is exactly the fixture Liverpool need after what happened in the week. And then, as you say, you sort of remember, they've changed, and you know, some of the stats from the few games he's been in charge, they are running a lot more, the pressing a lot higher and stuff. And he's using sort of, I guess, what the sort of some of the players he signed, and that's what a good at, you know, like Hoang, Guedes, people like that. They are energetic players, athletic players. So it'll be a different test, but I wonder whether, in some senses, that's sort of the thing we need, because I think you can almost lull yourself into a false sense of security if you're just passing the ball around and, you know, they're not really coming at you type thing.
Yeah.
So maybe a team coming at us and attacking us, historically under this manager, that's when we've been at our best.
It's an interesting take. My fear is, of course, is just that when people talk about energy, it's the thing that Liverpool are lacking sorely at the moment, Jamie. And, you know, there's the graphic done around about basically the levels of Liverpool's intensity and running and pressing and all that kind of stuff have just taken a massive nosedive in the last couple of years. That scares me a little bit about this. It being the FA Cup, of course, is slightly different. The fact that they've got other fish to fry, you know, they've got, again, another game to play when we've got the week off until Brighton that follows it. But yeah, under the new manager, they're all going to be willing to impress. Hopefully it's a situation where they do leave the back door open a little bit. But from a hopeful perspective on it, if it's a known entity, they're going to be really energetic. At least Liverpool aren't hopefully going to be caught flat-footed, expecting, as John says, a team that's going to park the bus.
Yeah, they're not a team I ever particularly relish playing. I don't think like, oh, nice, easy. I mean, we have beaten them comfortably on a few occasions, but I never feel like it's going to go that way.
I always feel like I can get the results up, but I'm not going to, because it defeats the whole point. But like, I always felt like it took us a while to overcome that type of team, because their energy levels kind of, that what we were aiming for in the early days on the club.
They've got the template, though, from the likes of Brentford, is rather than the classic way of probably why Moyes has got such a bad record against Liverpool or in Allardyce, so not to say they haven't beaten us, but sit back, if you stay in the game till 80, 85, then see, you know, try and nick a goal or something like that. Whereas the likes of Brentford, they just say, right, well, we'll sit back a bit, but we'll bomb four or five players forward when we'll really go for it. And they've got, I think that's I hope that's not the template that they take this weekend, because I don't fancy another performance like the one the other day, but it could be difficult for us.
No, absolutely. And just having a little look at what they've got, just in terms of injury news and what have you, according to premierinjuries.com, Francisco Tavares Oliveira ruled out until April at least, Neto ruled out until the end of February at the moment, Kalajdzic, I'll go with that, ruled out with no return date at the moment. Boubacar Traore also ruled out, and there's a 25% chance of Podent playing in this one. Yeah, I mean, look, again, the game is what the game is. Being at Anfield will be a massive boost for us. Of course, it's another one of those games where, again, we say the opportunity for new fans to get in there. I hope we get to put on a little bit of a display for them. And just for the vibes, we're going to need everyone bought into what we're doing in the next, you know, in the next month or so as Liverpool try to piece together some semblance of a run of form, and it definitely starts at the weekend. Ashley Frith has sent us in a super chat. Thank you so much, Ashley. Says thanks for pushing this through this with us, Red Men. You're honestly keeping me sane while Liverpool are poo. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, that's what we've done. It's annoying because I much prefer it when Liverpool are just brilliant and win the vast majority of games, but. You know, this is our 13th year of doing this. You know, I go back to it. Our first season doing a full season on YouTube was half of it was under Roy Hodgson. We just sacked Rafa Benitez. We brought Roy Hodgson in and we were rubbish. And we had him like losing games of football and calling them the best performance of the season and all that kind of stuff. Absolute nonsense. So
we're not there, yeah. We're nowhere near there.
No, and that's
in terms of your poo emojis.
Comparatively, yeah. I mean, that's what it feels like. Liverpool are shite. Yeah. Liverpool are shite compared to the team that won every single trophy in a three and a half year period by our own high standards. It feels like we've fallen just because it doesn't feel like we've got the level of control over any given football game that we had. We feel porous, which I haven't felt since the start of 2017 was the last time I really felt like that. And of course that mad run when we couldn't win a home game during COVID. Go on, John.
I was just going to ask in terms of obviously maybe transition into sort of 11s and stuff later, but how do you think some of the contract stuff in terms of midfield plays into this? Because I wonder, obviously you've got I know Millie's out injured, but Chamberlain and Keita in terms of both sort of potentially playing for the Liverpool futures, if you like, and just with you mentioning sort of there at the end of that, you know, looking at getting form together for a run and stuff, you know, you're sort of relying on, I think, those two. Keita's, we've actually weirdly looked our best for whatever Naby Keita's flaws are. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's an actual central midfielder, isn't he? He's not a guy who we're moulding into a midfielder, which you can say of Curtis Jones and you can say of Elliot and a little bit maybe of Carvalho. And let's be honest, we moulded Ox into a central midfielder as well. Keita is a born and bred central midfielder, done it, made a career out of it. We are much better. But I think that's an interesting notion. It's funny because last week on Journal Insight, me and Neil Jones were talking about Caton, and my little concern was if you're a guy who doesn't trust his body through injuries, are you going to run through brick walls and risk yourself when you're not staying at that football club? Because there's a balancing act where it's like, well, I don't think he's going to sign a new contract, but he might. So he might be playing for a new contract. You're probably playing to draw the eye of a good football club. So he wants to get on the pitch because he wants to raise his stock so that he doesn't end up playing for West Ham next season. But also, he doesn't want to end up... Like, we had this with Adam Lallana on the title season, where we knew what Adam Lallana was like. We kept him around so that he would get his medal and get to be with the side and rightfully earn his place lifting the Premier League trophy, but we didn't put him on the pitch because if he gets a 2-month injury, then it scuppers whatever happens next for him. And that's the real balancing act with Naby Keita. He has to play, for me, as many games as possible now because he's one of our best. There's a reason why we put him in the semi-final against Man City in the FA Cup and we're better than them on the day, is because he added something to our midfield. But you're right, there's an interesting balancing act there between like these lads who... Are they motivated? Are they prepared to go that extra mile, that extra yard? I hope they are, because that's Klopp's job, isn't it, to motivate them?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get into like, you know, the whole midfield debacle thing at the minute, but it's like there is that sort of seam of players missing, I think, in our squad in terms of like sort of like 23 to maybe 26. I mean, Jones maybe slightly falls into that, you know, he's 21, but you're sort of looking at him and Chamberlain weirdly to sort of pull us out the mire. And But equally, we seem to have made a habit of that in the last few seasons in terms of people like Nat Phillips. And it's been sort of the people on the periphery of the squad who've stepped up, and you're hoping that all this sort of stuff that the manager says about how good they are in training in terms of shadowing the first team, if you like, is sort of starts to pay dividends. But.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, so let's talk about the Liverpool players we're going to play. We'll be doing that after we've had a very short break, of course. Trivia question until then. When did we last play them, that is Wolves, in the FA Cup at Anfield, and what was the score? Wrap your eyes and ears around this in the meantime.
My Liverpool debut, a new series, exploring where it all began for a number of Anfield favourites.
We had that belief and nothing was going to get in our way, nothing was going to stop us. I was just fortunate to get my chance.
I'm about to wear the red strip for the first time and play with all the wonderful talent that I was in awe of.
And the travelling Liverpool fans started singing my name. You can imagine how special that felt.
Football saved my life.
It was amazing to be part of that lineup with that calibre of players.
I knew I deserved to be there. I knew I deserved that chance. I knew I was ready.
I'm Jamie Carragher.
I'm Phil Thompson.
I'm Martin Kelly.
I'm Jim Beglin.
I'm Neil Mellor.
My name is Bruce David Garobola.
And this is my Liverpool debut.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Yes, there we go. All episodes of My Liverpool Debut are streaming right now on redmenplus.com. So listen, whether you're a lifelong Red or you're new to Liverpool Football Club and you just want to feel like you're getting closer to the club, closer to the history, closer to the feeling and vibes of not just the football club, but the city, and also ultimately what it's like to be a Liverpool player. Fascinating insights. You know, you've got the likes of Phil Thompson there, who has won absolutely everything you can win. He's lifted the European Cup for Liverpool. Jamie Carragher there, and a much more modern legend with a similar feat. We've literally got him kissing the European Cup on the wall behind me. And then also you've got some of the sort of, you know, Bruce Grabelaar's done the same from a goalkeeper's perspective, and he's just mad anyway. And I'll be perfectly honest, me and Brucey have been drinking for most of the day prior to us recording this interview, so that's good fun. But also some of the lesser known stars, more fringe players, or maybe Ben Brightley but shortly, the likes of Jim Beglin, Martin Kelly, and obviously Neil Mellon. People know a lot about him. But yeah, what was it like to walk out for Liverpool, to pull on that shirt? What was it like to be a Liverpool player in the city of Liverpool in that time? The reaction, the nightlife, the women, and everything in between. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, fascinating stories. And yeah, all those episodes are available right now on redmenplus.com. So head over there, sign up, and you will get that. So, Jamie, you're almost casually threw in the answer to this question very nearly in conversation earlier on.
Oh, yeah.
The question was, when did we last play them in the FA Cup at Anfield, and what was the score?
Is that the one? Is it the 1-0 to Wolves?
I said nearly.
Because I was thinking it was 3-1 to Wolves.
It wasn't 3-1 to Wolves.
Is that away?
It was.
There was a Paul Lambert. There was a poor display against Paul Lambert.
It was Paul Lambert in charge of Wolves.
Andreas Weimann.
It was Andreas Weimann who did score the second of their goals.
That's at Anfield, isn't it?
At Anfield in what year?
Is it under Klopp, isn't it? Yeah,
under Klopp. 2017, oh. Liverpool 1, Wolves 2. The goals coming from Richard Stearman and Andreas Weimann. Liverpool's goal came from Divock Origi in the 86th minute to stage a fight back that didn't happen. The average age of Liverpool starting lineup that night was 23.66. Want to table a guess at what our starting 11 was in goal?
Mignolet?
Nope. The other one?
Karius.
Karius.
Oh, yeah. Was Klein still there?
Klein would have still been there, but he's not in the team. He's likely to start.
Moreno.
He's likely to start in the game at the weekend.
James Milner
in, oh, at,
no,
the back.
No, not,
at the
back. Less,
Joe Gomez. Cult hero, dancing superstar in recent months on Estonian television.
Oh yeah, the big man.
Ragnar Klavan. Moreno, yeah, was in the team. You were right at left back, right back. Joe Gomez playing centre half, right back. Connor Randall.
Oh wow.
A central midfield. I will guess three for the sake of argument. Lucas, captain of the night. The man that everyone's suddenly gone back on the love train for again, even though he doesn't play for us anymore.
Emre Can.
No, God.
did you
that? Things aren't that bad, mate. Sorry, Emre. I am only by comparison to the fact that I'm talking about Gini Wijnaldum. Young midfielder. Made absolutely burst onto the scene in pre-season against Tranmere and had a load of look-ins this season, but never made it. I think I presume we finally sold him. He's been out on loan for a number of years, mainly in the Championship.
We're too late for Ibe and Suso, aren't we?
We are.
Yeah.
All I can think is Ben Woodburn, but he plays.
Ben Woodburn is in the team. Ovie Ejaria.
Oh, yeah.
And then Roberto Firmino with Divock Origi in there as well. Wild stuff.
Wild team.
Subsbench Mignolet, Milner, Coutinho, Chan, Kev Stewart, Harry Wilson and Daniel Sturridge. If you got all that right, then you're a savant. Give yourself a huge pat on the back. Injuries for Liverpool continue to be concerning, as ever. A week doesn't seem to go by without us losing a footballer. This time it's Virgil van Dijk. There's talk, it's going to be at least the rest of the month. The rumours are that it could be much longer than that. He was unlikely to play this game anyway, John, but my question here is, what does that mean for how we utilise the players that we've got? So, and Joe Gomez, I think, is central to this, because Joe Gomez has been our backup right back. However, I don't think you can now enter a world where Gomez is playing. Because you can start Konate and you can start Matip. But if you're also playing Joe Gomez in that team, you've got no centre-halves on the bench that aren't called Nat Phillips. And no disrespect to Nat Phillips, but that's the reality of where we're at. And that we have to be careful with how we utilise the people that we have got, because we've been in this situation before. We've lost Virgil van Dijk before and we had a shocking season as a result.
Yeah, I think it's a hard one to call in terms of like the balance of experience, isn't it? In terms of like, I like Konate and I think, you know, we've all been impressed with him since he signed, but there are still elements of rawness to him, particularly obviously like the third goal the other night against Brentford. That, you know, a slightly more experienced player, I think, doesn't do that. And what he's trying to do is clever. But so if it was me, I'd be wrapping Matip up in cotton wool and trying to keep him and Konate for the league as much as possible, just in terms of having an experienced head next to him. The Gomez question for me isn't really a question. I feel for Joe in the sense that there was a time where I thought he was the future at centre-half for Liverpool. But on his appearances this season, not really. And you know,
we keep saying, and we know about Gomez, he needs a run of games. Mm. The only way Joe Gomez, Jamie, is going to get a run of games is if we have a huge injury crisis. Yeah. And that's how he got us looking before. And the problem with Gomez is he'll have a good game, but then his head will fall off in the middle of the next one. And then he really struggles to recover. And that's the problem right now, is that Gomez isn't playing well enough to justify the run in the team that he needs in order to play well enough.
He might end up getting it, though, if we don't. Obviously, Matip was fit, strangely fit all year last year, and he was brilliant. But you can never really guarantee him on his fitness. So Joe might end up getting a run of games at centre half. I think Ramsey plays against Derby in the League Cup, doesn't he? So he's at least had a taste of playing at Anfield. He's played a full season in the SPL, so it's not like he's just been playing under 18s football. Mm-hmm. So I think he can definitely come in for games like this at right back if we're sticking to the idea of Gomez at centre back, and I think we should.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe get him his run of games now in the next however long.
Yeah, I mean, the hope is that someone like Calvin Ramsey can get fit and stay fit, and we can have a proper look at what he is as a footballer, really.
Is he not fit for this weekend?
I have got no idea what the deal is with him. There's no reason. He's certainly not listed. But I'll get Premier injuries up for us. They've got our listed outs as Diaz, as we know, Artur, Jota, Firmino, Milner. Gappo obviously should be fit, should be available for it. Henderson should be available. Van Dijk is definitely ruled out. So there's no mention of Ramsey there, okay. But he's been conspicuous by his absence in recent weeks.
There's something in Dubai, wasn't there, where he wasn't playing? Anyway, hopefully he can.
Milner was preference, but of course Milner's been injured himself. Yeah. Gomez is actually. I don't mind Gomez at right back. I've said this elsewhere. There seems to be a switching trend back towards pacey centre halves who are good on the ball, playing full back for the top teams, which I'm not against us having in our locker. But it would be nice to get a clearer look at what he looks like. And again, the question would be, and if you're watching at home, let us know, what do you do for this one? Do you keep Konate and Matip wrapped up and go like Phillips Gomez as the centre back pairing, and then do whatever you want to do at right back potentially, or do you stick with Konate and hope that he's good enough and fit enough to just be your Van Dijk replacement? We have seen Gomez used as the understudy for Van Dijk as the left sided centre half. I mean, that could be Gomez's time to shine, you know, of saying, right, actually no mate, you get to be the guy who's a bit more composed on the ball, you get to just, you know, be a bit more of the mature centre half rather than the guy who throws yourself in and has to be all action. It certainly suits his skill set, not necessarily his height in terms of being commanding, but it's a possibility. Moving forward though, how many youngsters would you start, John, and has that opinion changed off the back of the result of the weekend?
A little. I'm trying to think. I'd definitely start Carvalho, I think, just in terms of, we haven't seen enough of him, I think, recently, in terms of keeping him in the rotation and keeping him that plate spinning, if you like. Me fear, and it has been for a while, as I think with Elliot, you've almost got to protect him from himself a little bit. I think there is a little bit of, he went through a spell of being really good earlier in the season, and then the last couple of games, but even prior to the World Cup as well, he'd go from some games he'd be brilliant, the games he was really good in, he was really good in, and then the games where he wasn't, he was just anonymous, and he was actually actively harming us in midfield. And that's not his fault because he's a young player, but you know, you sort of need to take him out of that firing line, I think, as the manager a little bit. And that's where I have like slight concerns over fielding. You don't want to kill some players' confidence, if you like, too soon before the, you know, big enough to sort of take that on the chin.
You've got to manage things, and the interesting conversation is like, we could take him out, but you're potentially putting another young lad in there anyway, you know, or youngish. I know Curtis Jones is a bit older now, he's heading towards sort of senior age. Stefan Bacetic is the conversation to be had, because for me, Jamie, as soon as I saw an FA Cup down the line, it's like, well, there's Stefan Bacetic starting. Yeah, yeah. There's Ben Doak maybe getting a start. And then, yeah, it's a good opportunity to get Carvalho in the team, good opportunity for minutes for Curt Jones. But then you're starting to get into a world of like, ooh, that's, you start to put that as an 11, and you're like, I'm a little concerned that has enough quality to actually get the business done.
It's funny, I didn't even think of Elliot as a youngster. I know he's 19 because he's played that many games. Yeah, I was thinking maybe Bacetic in there, but then I also thought, oh, this is a game for Jones to come in. Then I'd also like to see Naby play, because, you know, Naby's had however long out. And then I think, is there enough steel in that midfield for this sort of game? Like, all players that are good on the ball. I would maybe start Bacetic. I don't think Doak will start. I'd like to see a little 5-minute cameo at the end, 10-minute cameo.
Yeah.
They might have Traore terrorising people. We've got our own lad who can terrorise people on the right wing. But other than that, yeah, Carvalho may be coming in, possibly off the left. As you say, keep him in and around. In and around the squad.
We're talking from the left. There's a big conversation, that we've been saving ourselves for. There's a man, there's a £37 million man called Cody Gakpo, who should have finally had his deal sanctioned by all the relevant governing bodies and will be available for this game. he's the one. It's a bit like, obviously, we saw Diaz make his debut against Cardiff last season or whatever, in the FA Cup, regardless. I'm excited to see him. I'm excited to get a feel, John, of what kind of footballer he is. And almost, to some extent, I'm like, just build the rest around him. You know, like, he starts, definitely, because I want to see him. And let's see what other good players we can put around him.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the big question, is getting him into your team and what you do around that. And I think, sort of, it's that thing between sort of freedom, isn't it? You know, just, I think the manager said in the past, like, when we get new players, I don't coach them for the sort of first 2 or 3 months. I just say, just be you. And then once we know what you are more fully, then I'll tell you the bits I want you to work on. So you almost want to build the team around Gakpo, I think, if he's starting, just in terms of putting him on the pitch in our existing system and just going, right, do your thing. And for him,
go
and
see how you interpret this. You know what I mean? Here's the thing. Go out there. Yeah.
And also try and give him the best opportunity. I mean, I know it's not going to be I don't think it'll be a full sort of first team. I might be surprised given the break we've got to the next Premier League game, but you don't necessarily want him with sort of, as we were saying, sort of youngsters in the positions around him in terms of trying to bed himself in. You want him to sort of be able to at least have some senior players near to him in terms of helping him through it. But it'd use that as a positive, you know, if we're trying to build some kind of momentum going forward. You know, at home, it'll be his debut. He's the shiny new toy, isn't he, in terms of, you know, the big new signing, but hoping, you know, he's going to do something big.
Yeah, I mean, this is what it's all about, January. This is what you sign players. We want to sign players. We want to see what, like, we want to feel that genuine sense of excitement, like, again, like we got with Diaz. I don't know enough about him. You know, I've watched all the reels. I saw bits of him at the World Cup. You know, I've looked at his stats top to bottom in the last few weeks. You know, we've done loads of expert insights on Plus, you know, from like coaches and fans and all kinds of people who know him better. But there's nothing like the eyeball test. There's nothing like being able to see him pull the red shirt on. Maybe a future contender for the next series of my Liverpool debut, we'll see. But yeah, being able to see what he's like laid out in front of you is huge.
Yeah, he played in a two for Holland in a couple of the games. I don't studiously watch the Eredivisie every weekend. I'm sorry to have to admit, but I've heard him, people saying, like, oh, he's played down the centre, he's played as a false nine, stuff like that. So I don't think it's necessarily nailed on that he'd play on the left, but that is his main position. So you feel like if you're going to be giving a fella his debut, play him in the position that he's most comfortable in.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I'm excited to see what he can do, to be perfectly honest. Just a little mention, Ashley Frith has gifted one Redmen TV YouTube membership in the comments. Big love to Ashley Frith. What an absolute superstar. Well done, thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, again, let's try and work out what our 11's going to be then, because I think this is tricky. It's the trickiest one for a while. If he's fit, Callaghan will start. He was back on the bench, so there's no reason why he won't. Left back,
Tsimikas.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Centre backs.
Can I be mental and suggest maybe it's Phillips and Konate? Is that too outlandish?
No, I don't think that's too outlandish.
I wouldn't mind seeing Phillips. I feel like if Ramsey isn't fit, Gomez will play right back.
Yeah.
I think so. Then that then opens the door for Phillips.
There's also the thing, Trent. You know, we went training with him for a bit. I don't see how he needs necessarily a big rest in this.
I think if you're looking at a back four of Tsimikas, Konate, Phillips, you'd be looking at Trent, I think.
Yeah.
Just because I think it's not that he's been poor, because, you know, obviously highlights the sort of his one-on-one defending in that game the other week, but I do think he sort of needs a bit of, you know, he's not quite boiling over yet. He needs the minutes, I think.
Keep going, keep doing it, keep
I mean, the outlet, principally.
This is the thing we're already getting into, but I'll make this point in a second. Let's go to the midfield. DM, Hendo should be back.
I was going to say Henderson, but I don't know if you lose with it. Like, in my midfield, I'd put him there, I think, but I think you might go for Bedio. But I don't know who else you would play DM other than those two.
Bacetic.
Yeah.
So I'd have Bacetic a bit further forward.
Okay. I think Thiago comes out
in terms of minutes as well.
Because I'm thinking maybe, well, would Chamberlain possibly start on the right of the three? But then he's been out a while, hasn't he?
You've got the Chamberlain thing is that I just think we've got, there's options there. Yeah. Hasn't there? Actually, ones who we trust more in midfield, whether people like it or not. You know, he clearly thinks Elliot is a better go in midfield than Ox is, otherwise he'd have just flipped the roles over the last month, wouldn't he? You know, or the last couple of weeks. There's obviously Curtis Jones, as mentioned, needs a game. Naby needs some minutes. Again, Elliot, you could do worse than letting him have another game. You know, we got to get tucked after 45. Klopp's a big, big proponent of, I hooked you there, go and show me why I was wrong in the next game. Dejan Lovren being the most famous example after Tottenham Hotspur away. The last time our defence was crap.
Like again, after, as like, you know,
yeah.
I'm not taking you out the firing line.
Who's starting Mo Salah?
No, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know because I'm trying to think in my head. I'll get Carvalho in this team. Yeah. I think he'll start, but then and
my other question is: is Elliot an option in Salah's position? I know he's grown up there. Does Klopp see him now as exclusively a midfield option? Because I wouldn't mind seeing him there. He played there for Blackburn,
yeah, and we saw it in the Rangers game as well. You know, yeah. he does it there. Harry's one of our YouTube members. Here, so has put Elliot on the wing, so a little bit of agreement.
Yeah,
a little bit of agreement there. I'm not against that. I'm not against that at all. Again, it's if you're giving Salah the day off, what are you or 60 minutes or 70 minutes off? What are you doing that doesn't? Who's close to that? And Elliot stylistically just being left footed and playing inverted is a thing.
I think if I was going to play him, I'd play him down the middle as the nine rather than on the wing, because I think, especially if Gakpo starts, if I'm putting Gakpo in this 11, then he sort of, from what I've seen and what I've read of him, he plays, he can sort of play a bit as a 10, so yeah. we might end up like a bit like false 90, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. But I'd almost be playing Salah as one of the two or on his own, if you like.
Nunes,
I'd have him on the bench, I think.
Yeah, I didn't think he would play. We're going to end up with 13 players starting this, aren't
depends
we?
Where the Bobby, how close Bobby is as well, because he could do, if he's fit, he could do with some minutes on the pitch, certainly. It's kind of forced my point on Henderson. It was concussion, so he's fit, but they've gone through the protocols. It wasn't like he was dead bad, apparently. He's okay, but they just had to make sure they tick the boxes on that way. So if you just treat it like a normal game, he'd probably come in, because Fabinho's had to play. Actually, maybe slightly more. Similarly, why Tsimikas would probably come in for Robertson, because Robertson probably wasn't expecting to have to come on at half time in the last game either.
I feel like Jones, if he's not starting this, getting a bit worried for him in terms of his position in the squad.
Yeah,
because he should. These are the sort of game you've got to be. He's got a lot of detractors, hasn't he, at the moment. You've got to be performing in games like this, and then you think he's definitely a viable option for the league games. But
it's a tough one. I'll throw a team out, and I think it'll be Kelleher. I think it'll be Tsimikas. I would play Gomez and Konate, but I think he might play Phillips, because there's one last opportunity there to showcase him to the football market and say you can have this guy if you want him. Because we know we're prepared to listen to offers this January for him. So I think that's the option there. I would start Trent, therefore, because you're making so many changes to your back line, with the proviso that hopefully Calvin Ramsey's fit to come in and do half an hour, maybe even 45 if the game's going okay. I think Henderson will start in the six. I think Naby and Curtis will start in midfield, based on sub-appearances. The fact, again, Kerr comes off normally a little precursor towards getting a look in the next game, is having a couple of minutes toward the back end of the other one. And then the front line's tricky. It's whether is Gakpo fit to start. If he is, sound, he'll start off the left. Why not go 45 minutes of Gakpo, Nunes and Salah? See how the game goes. Extend one or two of them to 60 if you want to. And then you've got Doak and Carvalho potentially to come in and freshen it up and go. It's the FA Cup, we give a shit, in which case you maybe run 75, 80 minutes with the good lads, or it's the FA Cup, we don't give a shit, or we've already won, and then you can rotate from there. It's a big one, though.
Sounds fair to me.
Yeah. I'm almost certainly missing out. Bacetic, I've missed out in there. I'd like to see him get a game. And I think under any normal circumstance, I'd be letting him play this one. Maybe it's that you keep Fabinho out of this completely, and it's just Hendo and Bacetic who rotate through the game in it. I mean, I'm making 10 subs, I think, at this point, which is the big...
There's a lot of diddles of play in this game, isn't there?
Yeah.
Like, it's a 15-man team, but,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, cool. Score predictions?
I think we grind out a 2-1.
Yeah, 2-1. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be easy.
Horrible game of football incoming. 1-0 to Liverpool.
Gakpo debut goal?
Yes. yes, that will do me splendidly. At the Kop end, if he could wait as well, please, because I'm so sick of us scoring goals down the early road and doing nothing in front of the Kop, because I can't see that far. It's too far away, Liverpool. Score at the Kop end. Right, Dan, let us know what you would do, what your score predictions would be in the comments section underneath as well. Thank you so much to Ashley Frith for the Super Chats and the gifted memberships as well. If you want to keep up to date with everything ahead of this game, there will be a starting 11 prediction show. Jürgen Klopp's press conference, of course, will be available, or Pep, whoever chooses to send out for it, will be available on YouTube and on Acast, and obviously Spotify, iTunes and all that good stuff as well. And do check out my Liverpool debut. As I say, all those episodes, 6-episode series, all streaming, like, just nice solid consumable content there, really comforting, and hopefully grow your knowledge of some former Liverpool players and what it feels like to be a Red. Other than that, thank you so much, have a wonderful afternoon. Thank you, gents, pleasure as always, and we'll see you soon for another Match Build Up show.
Thanks for listening. If you want even more Bosch content and podcasts just like this, go over to redmenplus.com and sign up now.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.